Looks like we got some people here and the chat room is going, so let's do it. Welcome to Postcast. The Utah Jazz fall to the Minnesota Timberwolves 116-111. Hate to say it, but give Minnesota all 48 minutes of this heavyweight fight as they just outplayed the Jazz defensively, going after them throughout the night and owning this ballgame. The Jazz offense never got going, and more disturbingly, the Jazz defense was not very good as well. We'll be talking about all of it as we continue on Postcast. All right, our chat rooms are open. We are live on Locked On Sports on Periscope, Locked On Live as well, and open for you on Facebook at Locked On Sports, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch at Locked On Live. I want to have you jump aboard and get your thoughts, your questions, and your comments on tonight's ballgame from the Jazz. That's why we host Postcast, is to have get you and your thoughts on the ballgame. All right, let me give you my quick breakdown on this one. Minnesota owns this ballgame, 48 minutes of the whole night. They dominate. They come out early. They come out with a tenacity. They get physical with the Jazz. They blow up the handoffs. They blow up the pick and rolls. The Jazz seem to have a counter at one point where they move the pick and roll to the sidelines and bringing Jordan Clarkson around. But then that never seemed to get rhythm. Finally, late, the Jazz showed the other answer, which is to drive. And the good news tonight would be the Jazz ability to kind of alter their offense throughout the night. That will serve well. But this was clear after 53-point shots against Portland. Minnesota was playing the pick and roll with two guys. They were not leaving the shooters. They were not going to give away those catch-and-shoot looks that the Jazz had in the earlier nights. And so the Jazz have to find a way to get those. The more disturbing side to me is defensively tonight, the Jazz were just not very solid at all. Defensive rating of a 113 by the end of the night, so it wasn't as bad as it felt throughout the night. But Minnesota got out and ran in transition a tremendous amount early in the ballgame. I think they had about 28% of their first half possessions in transition. They were able to get to the basket. The Jazz defensive rating in the first half was a 129. And so that one, to me, more disturbing is the Jazz just inability defensively and really do not have a lot of elite level defensive players on the wings. Rudy Gobert had an impact on this ballgame with Karl Anthony Towns and not allowing him to do the things he wants to do. But the other guys out there for Minnesota were able to kind of get where they wanted to. They ran some good stuff. Minnesota's kind of the unknown team. February 5th last year, they traded for D'Angelo Russell, for Juan Hernan Gomez and Malik Beasley. February 6th, they traded for D'Angelo Russell. And then they only played 20 minutes with Karl Anthony Towns the whole year. So we don't really know who Minnesota is at this point. And tonight, if any indication, they might have a little something. They really outplayed the Jazz tonight, so give them some credit. All right, let's get to the questions. Elliot comes in. Anthony Edwards looked good for Minnesota off the bench. He certainly did. Wow. 19 years old, number one pick of the draft. That kid looked bona fide tonight. Bona fide, big-time scorer in the league. I liked every – he went at Rudy. He went at Faves. He bogarted Faves' rooms. He pulled up threes in traffic. He hit pull-up jumpers. He scored at three levels as a 19-year-old kid. That is really interesting. Adam points out Jarrett Culver hitting threes was a huge part of this game. They got a ton of corner threes in early offense against the Jazz. Jazz usually very good at denying the corner three, and the Jazz did not do that tonight. The other aspect that Culver hit him. Culver's been very, very good for them in the preseason. He was the number six pick of the draft out of Texas Tech. Last year, he didn't hit anything. But you know what? He's got 9 months off to work on his game, and these second-year players are coming back a little longer into the process, and we're good. Minnesota was 5 of 7 on corner threes. Jazz were 1 of 8 on corner threes. The one other aspect of this ballgame on the Jazz, they went 2 of 9 from three. In the second quarter, they went 1 of 10 from 3 in the third quarter, and then they opened the fourth quarter with a few more misses. So after the first quarter, let me see if I can find this. The Jazz, Conley missed, Boyan missed, and then finally Clarkson hit 2. So the Jazz at one point tonight went 3 of 21 from 3, and I'll bet if we go back and look at those 21 shots, they're not that bad. I don't think that words of wisdom. Exactly. I don't think the Jazz will shoot this poorly very often. I would completely agree with you on that. Jay Up says, I think we need to practice layups. Boyan missing a bunch of them tonight. Did not seem to have his legs tonight and didn't have it on the shots as well. Donovan goes 6 of 23. Boyan goes 3 of 16. That's a pretty tough one for us to overcome. I don't think we're going to be able to get that a ton to be able to pull this off when those two guys have that kind of a night shooting for the Utah Jazz. Boyan just didn't look like he had his legs around the basket. But when teams are going to hug Boyan and not let him free, he's going to have to find a way to score. He's a little turnover prone in the pick and roll game. He's going to have to find some way in that sense to be able to find other ways to score. Britton says, listening on Periscope, I think we need to show up emotionally and mentally. I never always understand that one, like in the sense that if we made shots, are we there? If we don't make shots, does that mean we're not there emotionally and mentally? That's a hard one for me. I never quite understand it. I will say this. I wonder how home teams are going to do this year. There were a bunch of times in this game tonight where I thought there would have been times for the crowd to really get the players into a game. And I know we had 1,500 people there, but it's not the same. And I was wondering whether or not, you know, if this was really a home game and you really have 19,000 people here, 18,000 now, does that spark the Jazz a little bit differently than anything else? Adam wants to know, with Royce at minus 16, why not try Shaq? Why not try Mia One? I mean, Royce, like, I love Royce's low usage aspect of things because of the fact that, you know, we have other guys on the floor who want to use shots and do things like that. But, you know, he's got to be an elite level defensive player. There were only three guys in the league last year who guarded the highest usage player more than Royce was asked to. They were Terrence Ferguson, Dort, and I can't think of the third one right now. But so there's only three players, other players in the league who get asked to defend the number one guy as much. If that's your job, you got to be good at it. That's the bottom line. Like, that's what Royce is asked to do. So he's, you know, minus 16 at 13 rebounds. He's our second leading rebounder last year, which is great. That's his job. So that's what you really got to ask Royce out of. I don't know why he was minus 16 tonight. You know, frankly, he might only be in. Towns was plus a ton. Maybe he's only in when Towns is in. It has nothing to do with Royce. Individual game plus minus is not one I'm going to jump on. Royce's role is very clear, right? Ferguson, Dort, and I'm trying to remember who the third guy was, who's guarding, you know, whose job is solely to defend guys, and the number one usage guy, that's Royce O'Neal for us. Adam says, Minnesota, at least tonight, looks far better than I thought they were. Minnesota has no sample size of who they are. I asked Ryan Saunders before the game, like, what's your vision of who you think you can be? And he described the team we saw, physical, intense, aggressive defensive team. They have a lot of athletes to do that. They got a lot of top picks to do that with. I mean, Russell's number two pick, Towns number one pick, Edwards number one pick, Culver number six pick, right? I mean, they're loaded with top picks, so they should be able to play a lot of that style, and they did it tonight. And then offensively, they've got enough weapons, and D'Angelo Russell's mid-range game makes plays. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. Why wasn't Joe inbounding on the final play? I don't know because we're not at practice this year, but in the past, that play is Jordan Clarkson comes around first, Donovan comes around second, Boyan flares to the corner where they just left. So the play might actually have been going back to Boyan for the corner three. Clarkson falls to the ground. Donovan now has to wait because Clarkson's on the ground. When Donovan comes through, Culver, who was guarding Clarkson, makes a really smart play and follows Donovan, so there's no passing lane to be there. So whether Joe was inbounding or not, the minute Clarkson fell, the whole play's thrown. I'm not sure that pass gets off anyway. But I think that that's, you know, maybe the play was going back to Boyan, frankly. Jazz never get up for games they think are an easy win. So, Jared, this is really funny you say that because every fan base thinks this to be true, and Jazz fans particularly think this to be true, and everything but this is true. Last year, the Jazz against below 500 teams were, give me a second, 31-10. Now, ironically enough, we've actually lost a game to Minnesota at this point every year, and then this will really probably get your goat a little bit, so I don't know why I'm telling you this right now. But Minnesota Minnesota had lost 23 of their last 25 games against above 500 teams. Ah! Now, maybe they're better this year because we just don't know. But actually, the fact is the signature of the Quinn Snyder teams has been that they do win these games, not that they don't. Is Bogey not healthy enough to be playing? I don't know if I've ever seen him play that poorly. He was not good tonight. But he did have 7 rebounds. I just thought he didn't look like he had his legs. When he went up for layups, he looked like he didn't have his legs. That can happen, right? So I think that's, you know, I mean, I don't think there was a health issue there. Jazz looked disoriented, just an off night. On to the next, says Rob. Obviously on to the next. I think also, you know, give Minnesota some credit. They physically got into the Jazz. They blew up their handoffs. They blew up their pick and rolls. They really made it so the Jazz didn't have a flow. The Jazz then, as I said earlier, moved some of their plays down to the baselines, got better angles on their pick and rolls, but they couldn't do that consistently. I'm not sure why on that. Joe and Royce were the worst plus minuses. What did you see out of them? I just am not going to get into a nightly discussion about individual game plus minus. I think that's a risky thing. Joe's turnovers feel like they're much higher than they used to be. I don't know if that's actually true tonight. One of them was particularly painful. He had 3, actually. We had 18 turnovers tonight, and impressively, nobody had more than 4. We just equally distributed those turnovers everywhere. Donovan had 4. Rudy had 4. Mike had 4. Actually, Donovan ended up with only 3. Joe had 3. Joe Ingles, 0 assists tonight, might sum up the game the best. And it's what Minnesota's did. This is what Minnesota's game plan. Minnesota did not leave the shooters, guard the pick and roll with 2 guys. The favors Ingles pick and rolls would bog down the game. And Joe couldn't get the ball off to anyone because they were just staying with their guy and making you try to finish at the rim. And, you know, that's not entirely what we want to do. We want to get in the lane and kick and pass and do a bunch of things like that. And the one guy who does want to do that is Jordan Clarkson. He did it really well. The other guy was Mike Conley, who did it really well. All right, we lose it tonight. The good news is we showed some different adaptations of our offense throughout the night. The bad news is we just do not look like we can contain the basketball, and I don't care how good Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors are. If we can't do that, we're not going to be a good defensive team. That would be my concern tonight, not actually the offensive stuff. Have a great night. Jazz fall in their home opener. Have a good one. Thanks for listening to Postcast.